Last week, you and I were in the desert. And as I mentioned last week, this was not a desert of palm trees, sun, and sand. It was a wilderness. It was a wilderness of lifeless, barren, lawless rock. And here you and I, today we do a complete, total 180. From being in the desert to now being on a mountaintop, to being in this barren, rocky, lifeless wilderness, to being in a beautiful, green, grassy mountaintop. Now, Mount Tabor is only about 1,800 feet high. Now, if you go to the top of Menachar, up the road on the way over there to Ligonier, there's a sign up there and says it's 2,700 feet high. So Mount Tabor is not very high, but it's the only mountain around, and so you can see it for miles. And when you're on top of the mountain, you can see out for miles and miles when you're up there because the ground around it is so very, very flat. And so this was the place where Jesus has this decisive moment, this deciding moment, this turning point in his life. Up to this point, Jesus is in the north. He's an itinerant preacher, proclaiming the gospel, healing people. And now with this event here today, all that's changed for him. He discerns from the Father, he must now go to Jerusalem. And he knows what he's going to find there in Jerusalem. Being an insightful person, he realizes he's going to suffer a tremendous amount by the establishment, by the religious and political leaders that are there in Jerusalem. And also too, and this is the point I want to make with you today, he knew that what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem was going to shock, scandalize, and traumatize his disciples. Remember, they still thought Jesus was politically going to free them from the yoke of Rome. They still thought that Jesus was going to go there politically to Jerusalem and somehow restore the kingdom of Israel. But this was not the Father's plan, and it was going to work out quite differently from all of that. And so let me ask you folks at this point, what scandalizes, what shocks, what traumatizes you as being a follower of Jesus Christ, of being a Catholic, of being a disciple? Is it the clergy scandal and all that kind of goes with that terrible thing that's occurring in our midst? Is it maybe all the suffering that you see, seemingly mindless, meaningless suffering that's going on in our world today? Or maybe it's just the struggle of day-to-day life, day in and day out, your struggle to live the gospel of Jesus. Or maybe it's just all the above. It's all those different things. The transfiguration, folks, was meant to give their disciples, Peter, James, and John, the courage to be able to go on with their spiritual lives. That was the point. So do you and I ever have transfiguration moments like this? Do you and I need this same kind of encouragement that these disciples got on that mountain a long, long time ago? Spiritual writers who talk about this experience that happened to them up on Mount Tabor, they call it a peak experience. And this peak experience is a moment when the border between heaven and earth kind of fades away, and the glory of God and the reality of what's going on around you all of a sudden becomes very, very present to you. B. Griffith writes about this in his book called The Golden String when he writes, There can be few people to whom such an experience does not come. These are moments when we come face to face with reality. So probably, as I look out at all of you here at this moment, probably over the age of, let's say, 16, probably most of you have had an experience like the disciples had in the gospel today. But maybe because You didn't know what it was, or you were afraid, or maybe we're so busy and so distracted, we kind of missed the whole thing that happened to us. Last week at our station's Soup, Salad, and Scripture, Pastor Ray Streets talked to us a little bit on Friday evening. If you were there, you heard it as I did. And he talked about a defining moment in his life. He called it a DM, if you remember him saying that. And he talked, apparently, Ray Streets is quite a basketball player, had a college scholarship to play basketball. And he tells a story of one time, it was the end of the game, and he was supposed to pass the ball. Instead, he decided to shoot the ball, thinking, I can make this, man. I can make this one. And he missed. And they lost the game. And his coach would not talk to him for days, as he tells the story. And after each day, it made him more angry, every single day, more frustrated by the experience, till finally he goes into the coach's office with his uniform, throws it on the floor, and says, I quit. And at that moment, he said, I realized that I was being profoundly unchristian in my experience of all this, and I had to change my life. And he said that was a defining moment for him. He never, ever forgot. Here he was. He told it to us just this last Friday. On our website and on our Facebook page, we're going to be putting a video, an 8-minute video, called The Veil Removed. I hope you get a chance to watch it. It's a video of what happens around us every single Mass that we celebrate that's invisible to all of us. What's happening in the video, there's a daily Mass, very sparse daily Mass crowd, and all of a sudden they're seeing before their very eyes what is going on at Mass every single time we celebrate it visually, seeing everything that's going on. And by the way, it's quite accurate on what we believe and what we teach about what's going on here in this Sunday liturgy. It's called The Veil Removed on our website, on our Facebook page. But a few years ago, a good friend of mine told me of one of these peak experiences she had in going to daily Mass. Excuse me, it was Sunday Mass. She said the experience began when the Eucharistic prayer began. And she said all of a sudden she knew, in an interior vision, she knew that Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus Christ, was present right here in our midst. And she knew especially that the risen Jesus Christ was present right there on the altar. She said she could tell that the angels and saints were all around us as we celebrate the liturgy, and that she felt like she had a deep connection with every single person in that church at that moment. She said this interior vision that she had lasted all the way through until she received Holy Communion and went back to her pew again. Then it faded away. Things were back sort of to normal once again. It was a peak experience. She never forgot it. And if she were here today, she could tell you the story just like I shared with you, like it was yesterday. And remember, folks, as I said to you just a moment ago, as Bede Griffith says, he says, there are few people to whom such an experience does not come to at some time in their lives, but it's easy to let it pass. Our world returns to its normal appearance, and the vision which we had seems to fade away. Pastor Streets didn't let it fade away, and it touched him. My friend didn't let it pass, fade away, and it touched her. And for all of you who are doing Arise this week for the second week, they're saying in the work there for Arise that a profound experience of forgiveness can give us one of these kinds of experiences. And they go on to talk about how the Amish forgave this man who killed 10 of their children at Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. And he said, in the article, it said that it was picked up by thousands of news agencies. And the word that kept on being spoken about this event, about their forgiveness of this man, was incredible and surprising. And one person that's mentioned in the Arise book, whenever you get your Arise book and you read about all this, he says, the most powerful demonstration of the depth of the Amish forgiveness was when members of the Amish community went to the killer's burial service in the cemetery, several families, Amish families, who had just buried their own daughters the day before, were in attendance, and they hugged the widow and hugged the members of the killer's family. A tremendous moment of encouragement for someone's life. So what's my point in all of this? Well, folks, life's hard. I don't have to tell you that. Even if you're a believer, and even if you're a follower, life's hard. You know, Ruth Burroughs is fond of saying, life is hard. Without Jesus Christ, it's torture. And I think that's about right. Life is hard. You and I need encouragement every once in a while. That's why I asked at the beginning of Mass, let's say one kind, encouraging thing. Maybe it was the only encouragement people have heard in weeks in their lives. Pastor Streets needed encouragement from God. This friend of mine, who I shared a story, needed encouragement from God. And all these people I'm talking about, they prayed every day. They read their scriptures every single day, every day without fail. So they opened themselves up to these experiences of encouragement that God can give them. If we're not praying, if we're not even in the game, how can God offer us his consolation, his encouragement, and his affirmation in all this? You know, wouldn't it be a cool thing if when we get in our small groups this week, that you would share your stories of your peak experiences, your defining moments of your life with one another. And if you do that, folks, remember you're on holy ground. As each of you share your stories of how God broke into your life, those moments that changed your life, holy ground in all of that. So all of this, folks, today, and as the liturgy unfolds, is meant to be a tremendous encouragement to you to continue with your Lenten observance, to continue to the great Paschal mystery of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Vigil. And for you to know that all this is real, that Jesus is with you every single step along the way, you're not alone, and all this ends one day with the resurrection.